Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, for about the last 7 to 8 months, we've been going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. This included what is commonly called the Beatitudes. It also included instructions about God's true spiritual standards, the proper way to give alms, the command to love our enemies, the proper way to pray, the idea of laying up treasures in heaven instead of here on this earth, an explanation of Jesus' statement about judging not. We did a study of the broad way that leads to destruction and a study on the narrow way. And then last week, we started on Jesus' conclusion, which is about building on the rock instead of building on the sand. So without any more delay, here is Pastor Reynolds as he concludes our study on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
This morning, we want to look again in the book of Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27, as we consider this thought. Are you building your life on the rock of ages, or are you building your life on the shifting sand of this world? Read with me, please. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, states this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Are you building your life upon the rock of ages, or are you building your life upon the shifting sand of this world? This is the question that we want to consider. The Bible states in the book of Deuteronomy 32 in verse 1 through 4 that God is the rock, that the Lord is the rock. The Bible said here in this place, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, and all of his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Let me ask you the question again this morning. Are you building your life upon the rock of ages, upon Jesus Christ, upon God, the Eternal One? Or are you building your life upon the shifting sand of this world? It's a very tragic thing, but many people are not building their life upon the rock of ages. They will fail. Troubles will come in this world. The Bible says that troubles come to all lives. Just because a person is saved doesn't mean they will escape the difficulties of this life. Troubles come. Jesus Christ made this very emphatically clear in Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. The Bible here makes it very evident that the floods come, the winds blow, and beat upon your life. But the only reason you don't fall is because your foundation is good. The foundation is under the house. The foundation is what the house is sitting on. You don't even see the foundation. But if the foundation is built upon the sand, the shifting sand of this world, it will fall when troubles come. When our house is built upon something else other than Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. In the book of Exodus 17, we find a prime example of people that build their lives upon something other than Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. In Exodus 17, let's read verses 1 through verse 6. The Bible said in this place, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink." This is a bad place. "There was no water for the people of Israel to drink." Verse number 2. "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink." How many people were they? 3 or 4, 5, 10, 20? No, there was at least 2 million of these people. And they were all thirsty. 2 million people, that's a lot of water. That's not counting all of their flocks and their herds. That's not counting all of that. And there was no water for anybody. They chode with Moses. They aggravated him about it. They said, "We want water to drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that has brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" You see, there's many people involved in this. In verse number 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, where thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. We need the Rock of Ages. There can be water. There can be nourishment come from the Rock of Ages. But if your life is simply built upon the shifting sand of this world, you are in trouble. You're in trouble every way you can turn, because you must rely only upon yourself or upon something else. You cannot ever trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, if you're building your life upon the Rock of Ages, you will find that He is well able to supply for you when it looks impossible for Him to supply. Moses here struck the rock. It was a picture given to all of Israel that one day Christ would be struck and that Christ would die for them on the cross of Calvary. Christ is the great immovable one. He is the Rock of Ages. Yet, Jesus Christ was struck for our benefit, for our eternal salvation. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, lowered Himself to the place that He was struck by humans, that He was injured by humans. The blood freely flowed from His veins for us, not for His sins. He didn't have any sins. He is the perfect one. Yet, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Are you trusting in the Rock of Ages? Or are you building your life upon the shifting sand of this world? I know some would say, "Moses struck the rock twice and was condemned for it, right?" Well, that is true. Moses did strike the rock twice, but this was on a different occasion. Moses was condemned for God for striking the rock the second time. Because Moses struck the rock the second time, he was not allowed to enter into the promised land, showing us that we need to be very careful to obey only the commands God gives to us, and never go beyond what Christ commands us to do. What Moses did when he struck the rock the second time was nothing short of what we do when we do not obey the will of God exactly. God tells us that we need to obey the commands of God, and God will always supply for us. Jesus Christ died for us. Are you trusting in what He has done, or rather, are you trusting in what you are doing? The whole point of the message is that we need to trust the rock of ages and not trust the shifting sand of this world. The Bible gives us another example. In Numbers 21, verses 4 down through verse number 9, the Israelites are again on their journey, and they are by the Red Sea. They're compassing the land of Edom. The soul of the people is much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God. Verse number 5 states, and the people spake against God and against Moses. And they said, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They didn't like the bread that God had given them to eat, the manna that God supplied for them daily. They didn't like that at all. The Bible said in verse number 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. This is a tragic situation, that the Israelites are now dying when the fiery serpents bite them. Are you trusting in the rock of ages, or are you trusting in the shifting sand of this time? The Bible said in verse number 7, therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now notice in Numbers 21, in verse number 7, that the people prayed to Moses. They prayed to God, and they said, I want you to please take away the serpents. But God did not take away the serpents. He didn't do that. Sometimes we might have a great thing we want God to do, but God oftentimes does not do what we want Him to do. Instead, God has other plans that are better than ours. In verse number 8, the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. This is a marvelous thing that God told Moses to make. And Moses made this serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And all a person had to do was to look and live. This is it. Jesus Christ is the rock of ages. Jesus Christ has plainly told us all that if we will look with a look of faith into Him, in spite of us being bitten by a serpent and we're going to die, if we just look by faith and trust the Lord, He said that He would give us eternal life. This is what the story here is all about. Yes. God is well able to wash away our sins. If we will look unto Him, just trust Jesus Christ and what He can do for us on the cross of Calvary. Listen, are you trusting in the rock of ages? Are you trusting in God alone? Or are you building your life based upon the shifting sand of this world? This world is not stable. It will not ever stand. But God will always stand. God made this earth. He created it in 6 literal 24-hour days. He rested on the Sabbath day. God told us He wants us to do exactly the same thing. And we need to do exactly what God has told us to do, for He is the King. He is our eternal Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Master. He is the one that we need to serve, and not us. He is well, well able to bless. Jesus Christ wants us to be right with Him. This is why He's given us His command. This is why Jesus Christ wants us to always be what He wants us to be. There is a very important point to notice in the book of Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. Jesus Christ, when He was here upon this earth, He asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some of the disciples said, well, somebody says you're this one and that one. But in verse number 15, Jesus Christ says, but whom say ye that I am? In verse 16, Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then in verse 18, Jesus Christ says this, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice here that Jesus Christ said that he would build the church upon himself. He is the rock of ages. Today, are you going to a church that is believing that Jesus Christ is the rock of ages? Or are you going to a church that does not even know anything about Jesus Christ at all? Jesus Christ said, I will build my church upon myself. That's what he's saying. Some people say Jesus Christ built his church upon the confession of Peter. But that's not so. You'll find that in verse 23 that Jesus Christ turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. So Jesus Christ is not building the church upon Peter or upon Peter's confession of faith at all. In the book of John 1 and verse number 42, Jesus Christ said that Peter was a little stone, not the rock of ages. This ought to make it abundantly clear to us that the church is built only upon Jesus Christ, who is the rock of ages, not upon Peter, not upon the confession of Peter. The church is not built upon us either. The church is built upon Jesus Christ, who is the rock of ages. This is the one that we depend upon and nothing else. Notice now in the book of Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 30, the Bible said here, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut him up? Listen, the whole truth is that God can do more than we could ever imagine that he could do. Notice in the next verse, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 31, the Bible said here, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. This is absolutely the truth. There is something you can trust in that's not the rock of ages. The heathen do this. The ones that don't believe in Christ are guilty of trusting in something other than Jesus Christ and what he has done for them on the cross of Calvary. But what are you doing? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Are you relying totally upon him? Or are you trusting in what you have done, or what you will do, or what you plan to do? Listen, we need to only trust in Jesus Christ. We are his servants. We need to see that he is the only one that can wash away our sins. No one else can. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, and verse number 2, there was a lady that said this. Her name is Hannah. She said, there's none holy as the Lord, and there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. I'm thankful that God is the rock of ages. He is the one that we sing about when we sing the song, Rock of Ages. He is the one that has been cleft for me. He's one that's been separated for me. He's one that's been divided for me. He has given me a safe refuge from the storms and the wickedness of this world. Jesus Christ is the one that has saved my eternal soul. I didn't deserve it, and you don't either. But Jesus Christ has loved me before I ever knew him. Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself for me on the cross of Calvary. This is a wonderful thing. And we are trusting in him and not in the shifting sands of this time. The Bible said in the book of Psalms 18, verse number 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, In him will I trust. He is my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. This is the things that God is. There's no way we can properly describe how great God really is. In Psalm 61 and verse number 2, the Bible said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." This verse is the title of a song that we sing sometimes. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What a wonderful thing it is to have a God that is like that. Listen, are you trusting in what you can do? Are you trusting in the Rock of Ages? Are you trusting in what He has already done for you on the cross of Calvary? The Bible said in the book of Psalms 62 in verse number 2, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." What a great, wonderful thing that this really is. Jesus Christ is the Rock of Ages. I'm thankful that He is the kind of God that we can rely upon, that He is the kind of God that we can serve. There's none like Him at all. In Psalms 28, in verse number 1, David writes this, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." I'm thankful that God is the kind of God that we can trust in, that we can rely upon when times get tough. He is the Rock of Ages. He is the one. I don't have to trust in what I can do. I can trust, however, in what Christ has already done for me. My salvation is already sealed. It's already done. Jesus Christ has saved my eternal soul. I'm thankful to know that that is so. In Psalms 94 and verse 22, the Bible said here, "The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." Listen, are you trusting in the Lord? Or are you trusting in the shifting sands of this time? This is an important thing that we might understand, that Jesus Christ is the Rock of Ages. I know, as I'm speaking to you, I know that there's trouble that comes into your life. I know there's trouble that comes into my life. That's the way that it is. It's because of sin that comes. But all of these things happen to us for a reason. They happen to us to push us toward Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves us. He has already died on the cross of Calvary for us. He has shed His own blood for us. He has given His life for us. He has died. He has shed His own blood for us. He has done all these things for us. Jesus Christ was laid in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. But He didn't stay there. But Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. By the power that He possesses, He came out not by somebody else's power, but rather He came out by His own power. The thief on the cross asked Jesus, he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Christ said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This is an absolute truth. This is the way that it is. The thief on the cross, though he did nothing at all to deserve it, he had not done any kind of good work in all of his life. The man was a thief. He deserved the death that he died. This man, when he was hanging on the cross, and Jesus Christ on one side of him, and the other thief on the other side, he looked to Christ to save his eternal soul. And Jesus Christ did save him. He is the Rock of Ages. He is the rock. He is solid. He is firm. And He can do more for us than we could ever believe at all. There is a very popular way that men are traveling today, but it may not be the straight and narrow way. We need to follow the straight and the narrow way, not the broad way that leads to destruction. But Christ is telling the people as He preaches the Sermon on the Mount that they need to follow in the straight and the narrow way. Look, in the book of Revelation 13, in verse number 1, John is standing on the sand of the sea, and he sees the entire history of the Antichrist. The Bible said in this place, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. John here is standing upon the sand of the sea, and he's looking at all the multitude of people that are living their lives in the wrong way. In the book of Revelation 20 and verse number 8, the Bible here says that those that are deceived by the Antichrist are as numerous as the sand of the sea. The Bible said in Revelation 20 and verse number 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Listen, the Bible also states in the book of Proverbs 11, verse number 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Just think of this. Even though hand join in hand, even though there's a vast multitude of people that are not relying upon what Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary, they shall not be unpunished. Are you trusting in what you have done? Or are you trusting in what the Rock of Ages has done for you? Are you trusting in only what Jesus Christ has done for you? Jesus Christ was alive upon this earth more than 2,000 years ago. But Jesus Christ died that sinners could come to him and that sinners could be saved. Are you trusting in the Rock of Ages? In Proverbs 16, verse number 5, the Bible said, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. This is going to be a tragic, tragic thing that people face. Now, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. The Bible says when Jesus Christ finished the Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished at his doctrine. This means that they were actually flabbergasted at everything that he had taught them. You know why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount, that he mentioned several times that they should not think like they've been told. He didn't want them to listen to the false teachers of their day. Jesus Christ does not want you to listen to false teachers of your day either. Jesus Christ has left now. He is not on this earth, but Jesus Christ is watching everything that happens upon this earth. Jesus Christ is watching me preach this radio broadcast. Jesus Christ is also listening to you as you listen to that. Jesus Christ wants you to listen to what he's saying. Jesus Christ wants you to believe in him if you're lost. If you're saved, Jesus Christ wants you to take up your cross, and Jesus Christ wants you to follow him. He don't want you to do like everybody else is doing. But Jesus Christ has a certain fixture and a certain plan in his mind for you. Jesus Christ wants you to be faithful unto him. Jesus Christ is the Rock of Ages. He has died on the cross of Calvary for us. He has paid the price for us. He has given his life for us. How much more should we just give a little bit of our life unto him? Jesus Christ is very well able to take care of everything that we're ever thinking about. Anything that troubles us, Jesus Christ can take care of that. If you don't believe me, believe Jesus Christ and just ask God to take care of that for you. Jesus Christ can do exactly that same thing for you. Just trust him, rely upon him, and rest upon him. Jesus Christ wants you to trust in the Rock of Ages, the rock that cannot be moved. Jesus Christ does not want you just to rely upon the shifting sand of this world. He wants you to trust him.
You know, I want to thank you, Brother Wayne, for bringing this great study on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's been an absolutely amazing thing to see how much Jesus gave us in this one sermon. You know, three chapters, but yet there's just so much in those three chapters, and it's been a great encouragement to me personally. Well, as we come down to the close of the broadcast this morning, we do want to remind you once again about our services. We'll be meeting at 124 South Main Street in Forestville, Missouri. Services begin at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship service. We have a 3:45 prayer meeting, and then we meet again at 4:30 for another worship service. And finally, we want to thank you for listening this morning, and we pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.